everyone. Welcome back. Week two of the new show without a name. It's Jeremy and Shahid. Good day, sir.
What's going on?
What's going on, man? I was actually researching, like, show names, trying to see, like, what's taken and what's not, because, you know, like a comic book movie ninja sort of thing doesn't have a lot of podcasts. That's sarcasm. There's a ton of them. And do you know there's actually not one show called Comic Book Podcast or Comic Cast?
Because it's too simple and too easy. You know, everyone wants to be different and witty and all that garbage.
Yeah. So I was thinking, well, But I guess we don't cover just comic books, though, so it doesn't really make sense.
It don't have to be accurate. It just has to be catchy.
Well, true. Well, I don't know if this counts, though. There is a show called The Comic Book Show.
Yeah.
So well, I don't know, but if we leave the off of it.
Then there you go. Like, the Facebook became Facebook, so.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think, you know, once this takes off, I don't think we can get sued or anything. And if so, we have LegalZoom to back us now.
Hey, so, if we sued, it was your idea. Yeah, so.
I don't. Who are you? I don't know. Who, but yeah, so you know, once we come up with a name, and Ebony and Ivory is a ridiculous name. That's not going to work. It's you know, what did you say? Like, it's not original or witty or anything. So no. Oh, and just in case no one knows, Shahid's white and I'm black. That's why I said that. So
I thought the voice would have had everybody figure that out by now. So
yeah, I know exactly. So wait a minute. Wait, what the hell's that mean?
You got that Detroit swag, son.
Oh yeah, that's it. So, I've lost that a long time ago. Well, anyways, this week we actually have somewhat of a topic list. We both saw Godzilla because who didn't? Apparently, I got to see Amazing Spider-Man 2 for free, thankfully. And that's really – oh, Guardians of the Galaxy. So we're going to get into one of those three first. Let's lead off with the big one, man. What did you think of Godzilla?
I definitely enjoyed Godzilla, and the main reason I enjoyed it is because the tone they took. Like, too many times when you do those big sci-fi movies, like monster movies, you see too much of the monster. I know it sounds kind of redundant, but do people really want to see 45 minutes of, like, a big lizard fighting?
Well, kind of. I don't know. That's kind of a trick question in this case. Cause...
I mean, I heard that complaint because when I went to the movie theater, I heard people say, you know, oh, I enjoy it like that, but it wasn't enough fighting, and they kind of cut away. It was like a bait and switch. And,
well, yeah. And I actually do understand people's, like, not obsession, criticism of it. Because... They pop Godzilla pretty quick in the movie, actually. I mean, you get the Mutos, which I don't remember what Muto stood for, but it was kind of funny, actually.
Massive unidentified terrestrial organism.
Oh, that's right. And then he said, well, they're not so terrestrial anymore. Yeah. Yeah, that got a laugh. But you actually see more of them, and then you get into the Godzilla. And of course, just in case no one listened last time, all of these shows have spoilers, so if you haven't seen any of these movies or TV shows or read the books, whatever, go somewhere else and come back. Not our fault. So anyways, I guess the start with everything, like I like the tone. That's why I was asking if you'd seen the movie Monsters or not. That was Gareth Evans' first big movie. It's very similar to this. There's a lot of wait, oh, monster, wait, monster. And then finally at the end, you get the big reveal. It was set up almost exactly like that. So I wasn't too surprised the way it went. Not that I had a big problem with it. I don't know.
I think the tone, it made sense in that way because it made, when Godzilla showed up, it seemed like a big damn deal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
See, I saw it Thursday night when it first came out, and it was great because there was a bunch of nerds. And I was texting you. I mean, the one guy turned around and was like, everyone seen Spider-Man? And everyone just started talking. And then, of course, I brought up Arrow, and then someone else was bringing up how bad Spider-Man 2 was. And I'm like, all right. And then all of a sudden, the lights go down, zoom, silence. It was great. And that's kind of one of the reasons you go to one of those early shows anyways, like with the big ninja audience. I'm still trying to come up with another word for that one.
I think that's a perfect name for it.
Yeah, because no one, well, depending on if you listened or not, you don't know what that actually means, so it could actually be kind of funny. No, I enjoy those crowds with all the people who are into the source material or remember this movie or remember these parts, and they can talk about it, and you get like that little community.
Mm-hmm.
So that when someone cheers during the movie, it's okay. Or if someone goes, like, just yells out, like, when, it's not Ken Watanabe, was it? Is that who that was?
I said it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. When he said, we named it, and I was like, say it. And he goes, Gazira. And I was like, yes! And some other guy down the bottom was like, put his hands up in the air. You know, it's that fun sort of community aspect of it that you don't get if you go to see, like, I don't know, like The Other Woman or something.
I'm laughing because I saw that. And it
yeah, I know you did. So I'm sure it was hilarious and not in any way run of the mill or any of the same old, same old. So,
it was.
There you go. See?
That's another podcast for another story.
Oh, boy. All right. But yeah, so the tone of getting back to the tone, I didn't mind the whole wait and see. And I thought the preview was actually incredibly misleading. Pretty much all the previews were misleading to me. After watching it.
Well, but in a good way.
Yeah. When, and maybe it was kind of anticlimactic. Shocking, but anticlimactic, if that makes any sense. Everything you see in the preview, for the most part, takes place in the first 20, 25 minutes, except for the big shots of Godzilla. I mean, Bryan Cranston crying because his wife is on the other side of the reactor doors. Them patrolling through the deserted city.
Yeah, like it was only two like scenes from the trailers that were kind of late in the movie. The one, I think, is probably what, an hour into it when they had the train scene in Honolulu when the Muto broke the train.
Yes.
And then when they skydived into the city near the end.
I remember that.
Yeah, but everything else, like you said, happened kind of first 30 minutes, more or less.
Yeah, I enjoyed how it made it look like Bryan Cranston was the star of the movie. Because everything I read about it going into is, well, it's got Bryan Cranston in it. It's got a legitimate star. You know, good actor, this and that and that. And 30 minutes into it, he's dead. I thought that was ballsy.
Yeah. I was just surprised. But I was thinking, you know, he was a big deal in the beginning. Of course he's going to show up. Like, if he's going to die, it'll be at the end when they talk about him and his son. But it's like 30 minutes in, remember your family. I'm out.
Yeah. And it was done in such an anticlimactic way. There wasn't like a hero death or anything.
He just died, wrong place, wrong time, because he didn't run.
Yeah, he froze, the scaffolding falls, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then they get him on the ship, and I'm like, oh, he's taking a coffee break, like Eric Stoltz in Anaconda. That's what I was expecting. And they just zip it up. Or wait, did they unzip it or zip it up, the body bag?
He zipped it up.
Okay, and I just thought to myself, I'm like, huh? Wait, what just happened here? And that was it. It's like, wait a minute, you just killed the guy you were marketing the movie around. Like Game of Thrones almost.
Yeah.
Incredibly ballsy because, you know, Bryan Cranston after Breaking Bad, he's a, you know,
he's a star. He's a name. Like yeah. People know who he is. So.
Yeah, he's a star the way he never became one after Malcolm in the Middle. You know, and I especially remember when Breaking Bad came out that I thought it was like, the dad from Malcolm in the Middle? It's like, really? And yeah. Now no one really remembers that. Just now he's Walter White now. So, but I thought that was pretty ballsy to do. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And then the only problem with that is it gave Aaron Johnson.
Kick ass.
Yeah, way too much screen time. He's not a good actor.
He's no, you know what? Yeah, it's the same thing we talked about last week with Ryan Reynolds. Like, he's not a star actor. I saw him like in Kick Ass. He's fine. I saw him in Savages. He was fine in that. It's funny, like him and Elizabeth Olsen is going to be in the Avengers. So
as brother and sister,
brother and sister. Like he's best when he's like a supporting role because he kind of more like I can do supporting character actor goofy stuff. But no, I never saw him as like star, like hero face. He got the body for it, just didn't mesh.
Boy, yeah, that's somebody that's doing the Hollywood diet. He was rail thin in Kick-Ass. And then he was playing what branch of the army would have that have been? I know it was special. It was like a special group, but it just jacked to the gills, and I'm like, okay. And that's why after Captain America, they showed Wanda and Pietro, and I'm like, is that the guy that played Kick-Ass? It's like, oh my god.
Well, he was a little bigger in Kick-Ass too. Like he was ripped, but he wasn't like supersized like he is now. So yeah,
I didn't see Kick-Ass 2 yet. I don't know.
You're not missing anything.
I didn't think so. So I thought that was weird, and it led into the if there's a big criticism of the movie, the whole wife as the nurse subplot was totally unnecessary.
Yeah, that was the biggest. I heard that complaint from a lot of people saying if they didn't mind the story focusing on people, they minded they focused on the wrong people. They like focus on Bryan Cranston and Watanabe, but nobody cared about the damn nurse.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen Ken Watanabe a lot more, other than him naming Godzilla, him being on the ship, and him just kind of sneaking around the whole time. Like, not intentionally sneaking, more lurking. He was always somewhere where something was going on. He was our device to get between different...
Point B.
Yeah. Yeah, he was our information giver, and it was like, really? They couldn't have given him any bigger part, huh?
He's that guy. Like, he's a good actor, but he just gets just enough.
Yeah, I remember them making a big deal out of him being in Batman. What was the first one? Batman Begins.
10 minutes.
Yeah. And he goes, you are not ready. I was like, what? Boom, he's dead. It's like, damn. All right, well, so much for that.
Cash the check.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, keep on a working. But yeah, I was outside the humans, when you're putting all your, putting everything on Aaron Johnson, I was like, all right. Now, I'm not in the military. I never have been. But I always hate the movies where the military is in an adversarial role to the people who have knowledge.
You know, knowledge not allowed, son.
it's that old cliche. And it's like this is what happened in the 50s movies. Like, the scientist, I'm not going to listen to you. That's insane. Well,
as someone who works at a military facility, it's not that much far.
All right.
Well. Sad to say. Like, it's not as bad as they make it out to be, but logic and science don't always go hand in hand with military doctrine. That's more like, do this, and you need to do this now because you can't have time to waver.
Yeah. All right. Well.
And that's how you get what you get.
Yeah, true. But I guess that's kind of what I liked about this was, the scientists came up, they pulled them out of the wreckage of, I can't remember what city name it was in Japan. And then they put them on the Roosevelt?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah. Well, the Roosevelt's also something from Spider-Man 2, so I was trying to balance it out. But
hello!
Wow.
What, he can hear me?
Yes, he can hear me. That's Jeremy. Say hello.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, what's up, boss?
Hey, you know it.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
So, had that special guest appearance.
Oh, speaking of Godzilla. I lost. I did appreciate that they pulled the scientists onto the boat. Not the boat. You know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And they immediately said, what's going on? He explained it. And I can't remember that actor's name. Damn it.
Richard T. Jones.
Is that his name? Yeah. And he's the guy. No, David Stratham.
Oh, I'm talking about when they first found him, was Richard T. Jones asking what's going on, and then the military's taking over the mission. Then when they got on the boat, David Stratham start to talking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. Yeah, it was the Stratham part, because usually it's, and especially when he introduced himself as Admiral, I just was like, oh, not one of these. Like, just please don't have it be this way. And it wasn't. He was like, all right, here we go. Well, here's what we know, and was sharing it immediately. And I was like, cool, they're advancing this pretty quick. And I guess it helped that, you know, they apparently knew something was up if they've already named it, if they already gave the monsters an acronym. So that kind of helped. That kind of helped the procedure out. But going forward from that, they kept going back and forth with the monsters and the people. And like you, and I think you're exactly right. They picked the most uninteresting people to round that out.
You know, I know it's I know what they were going for. Focus on the people and their reactions to Godzilla makes the Godzilla and the monster seem that much of a massive scale, but it only works if you care. I mean, the nurse is like, whatever. You can die or not die. Whatever.
Yeah, it's. I'm trying to figure out if it was Harrison Ford years ago. They were talking about the Jack Ryan movies, and he didn't come back for the one Ben Affleck played Jack Ryan. Whatever.
Someone cares.
Okay. Yeah. And his exact words were, well, there's a nuclear bomb going off, and I'm supposed to care about this guy and his family, and not the fact that a nuclear bomb just went off. Now, I haven't seen the movie. I didn't really like the Jack Ryan stuff. But he kind of made the point, that's kind of what the point of, like, getting back to the wife and that, I didn't really care about their love story at all. Or you know, him getting back to his family. I cared about how they're going to stop these monsters, and more importantly, how they're going to get the Godzilla finally showing up for more than, like, a couple seconds at a time.
Yeah, I like that, how you first see him right before he's about to fight. Then you see a fight scene on TV. Mm-hmm. Then you see a fight scene that just ended. And then finally, like, you know, almost 2 hours in the movie, you finally get a drawn-out fight scene. And I kind of actually preferred it that way, because, you know, I heard people complain it wasn't enough Godzilla. And I brought this point with you before. I remember when Pacific Rim came out, and it was like, you know, oh, it's going to be awesome, and it's monsters versus robots. And it was a great, like, visual effect. After a while, it's kind of, it just, what do they call CGI awareism? Like, you just get seeing it. Like, you know, I don't see 50 minutes of a robot punching an alien in the face. Like, after a while, it gets kind of old.
Right. Oh, and it did, actually. Especially with, I guess it's inevitably because Pacific Rim came out last year, the comparisons are going to be fresh. Because that's really the only big monster movie deals we've had lately that have been any good.
Yeah, before that, you have to go all the way to Cloverfield.
And that was barely a monster movie, because there was no fighting in between them.
Exactly.
You know, so. The one problem I had with Pacific Rim is there was no logic to it at all.
Oh, don't get me started on that. I was watching my wife, and I enjoyed the movie only because I try to use no logic whatsoever. Because my whole thing was, okay, you know these aliens are coming from one spot, and you know what time frame they're coming, and your best plan is to spend all your money to build robots to punch them in the face. Mm-hmm. Like seriously? And then when you run out of money, let's build a wall. I'm like, they're thinking stuff. They're like, all the scientists died the first time a monster came. They were at some conference. They all died. That's the best plan you can come up with.
Well, I do like the fact that they built robots first, then a wall, but no one thought of just building a plug. Could the plans have gotten any worse?
Well, they say, you know, we tried closing it up, and they had like a 2-minute line explaining it. Like, we tried closing it up, but it's interdimensional. We shot bombs in, and they never exploded. I'm like, bro, can't you have like a wall around them when it comes out?
Or build like something down there with gigantic laser guns?
Yeah.
Or swords. And that was my big thing. And I'm sorry we switched movies up, but it was inevitable we were going to get to this. The part that was badass, the robot pulls the sword out and just chops the alien up.
Yeah.
And I just turned to Elise and I went, why don't they always have the swords out?
They have the guns that take 3 minutes to shoot.
Yes. Explain that there's a power issue. Explain that by using the sword, that actually took parts of the armor. Explain something, especially if you can fly into space as well. Grab one of those things and fly up into space with it. There, you're done.
Yeah.
It burns up on reentry. You're done.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's a reason why Pacific Rim made the amount of money it made and Godzilla made the amount of money it made.
Yeah, exactly. And well, I think what, going back to what, how we started the Pacific Rim part, though, was Pacific Rim started off with a fight between two robots, or a robot and one of the monsters. You didn't even get a chance. I mean, they established what was going on pretty fast, but you got no real sense of what was going on. It was basically someone like doing a proclamation and then like dropping the mic and go, all right. And then boom, the monster and the robot start fighting.
Like you don't have anything invested in it. You just have a story in the beginning. They came and we tried something. And now we have robots. So here we are.
Yes, until you keep going on and on in the movie, and you're just like, why would you live anywhere near? You know what I mean? Like, at least in Godzilla, the monster was moving, and they made a point of saying, we're evacuating, we're getting people out as fast as we can. In Pacific Rim, there are people living right off the coast where the aliens come through.
The robots will save us, Jeremy. They've been doing it for 30 years until they stop. But now we can't move, so we're going to hide and hope. I don't even
know.
Yes. Before I saw that movie, don't get me started.
Yeah.
And I actually like the movie, but just thinking about it makes me realize it was a stupid movie.
If you just watched it and edited out all of the people parts of Pacific Rim, you've got a pretty badass robot fighting monster like YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
And I was okay with that, but the more, like, I hadn't seen it since I saw it in the theater, like, the midnight show when it came out. Because I was hyped for it. I was like, Guillermo del Toro, monsters, giant robots, this is going to be amazing. Let down, of course, but I saw it on HBO, like, 2 weeks ago or something, and it still looks cool, but whatever.
That's a movie. That's one of those. It looks. You can watch it in the movies more so than on TV. Like unless you have a huge TV screen, it doesn't translate.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, it's kind of.
Like, it's like slow motion Transformers.
All right. So, anyways, I'm not getting into.
Okay, let's go.
I despise those movies. So. Well, that was actually one of the previews before Godzilla was the new Transformers, Age of Extinction, whatever.
Yeah. So I feel like this is a separation of church and state because I'm a big-time Michael Bay fan because I accept him for what he is. I like the first Transformers movie. I can stand the second one. I enjoyed the third one. I will be here for the fourth one because it's...
You're the problem.
No, I know.
People like you are the problem.
Because I'm not one of those types saying some grown man's going to ruin my childhood from a cartoon from the 80s that wasn't that good to begin with.
That is true.
Because Transformers is a nostalgic cartoon. It does not hold up.
No. We're not doing this. I'm not. No. So anyways, Godzilla, we'll get into that in a different show. Godzilla, the reveal of Godzilla, you know, it was here and there, but when she finally comes onto Honolulu, onto the airport, and just turns, and I loved the camera angle, start low, and it just kept, I didn't see it in IMAX, I plan on seeing it twice this weekend, but plans changed, and I can't wait to go see it in IMAX now. It was the reveal of the low shot. And it just kept going and going and going. and going and going and going, and then finally you start to see like the thighs, and then you get to the arms, which I don't know if anyone's ever realized this. Godzilla is always at in a come at me bro stance. Always. So you get there, and all of a sudden and then she just screams, and that's when they cut it off and it went to the TV. It was like, oh.
I remember when I was at the theater and we saw that, and I was just watching. I remember I was just like, holy shit. And when it just roared, that's like people start clapping. And then they got pissed because they just cut away. It's like, what a damn tease.
Yeah, there was an audible sigh from a few people. It's like, not a sigh, but just more of like a resignation. Like, huh? Like, no. And then you see, and then the laugh. People laugh when they saw it on TV, though. That was kind of that was a pretty good way to show it. And then the second reveal, not so bad. You actually saw the Mutos more so than you saw Godzilla in this movie.
Yeah.
Well, but you also get to establish, because you know Godzilla's not going to lose, so you got to establish the bad guys. You know,
and they made a story about, you know, I will give credit to this. It made sense for the most part. Like everything, like the movie made sense.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times in those big time movies, like when you start to think and, you know, over process, stuff start falling apart. It wasn't so, you know, my issues with the movie didn't have anything to do with the plot or what they did, because you had an idea of like, we're going to do this plan, and the other guy's like, it's not going to work. Just let nature take care of it. Let them fight. Well, yeah. You know, but you understand the Navy saying, I can't just let three monsters fight.
It was so great when he goes, and I saw the international trailer, so I knew that line was coming. It was still awesome when he said that. And of course, Navy, you know, whatever. They're going to do what they do.
Yeah.
And then,
you can see both sides. Like, you know, the one guy that's been studying it for 20, 30 years knows it's like, look, y'all not going to scratch it. Let things work out the way it's supposed to work out. Mm-hmm. And we just support. But the Navy not trained that way. So it's not, neither side kind of look like a villain. And it's kind of just more like different point of views.
Yeah.
And a lot, like you brought up before, a lot of times when it's the military, they're always the evil villain bastards. Like, we're going to do what we need to do and to hell with you.
Yeah. And in this case, it wasn't. When that's why it was refreshing, man. It just, there was, if the Navy would have taken the approach of helping people get off the island, or I'm sorry, get out of San Francisco, which I was also very happy that it wasn't New York. It wasn't somewhere like Miami. It wasn't like one of the, it wasn't London. It wasn't Paris. Nothing ever happens in San Francisco except real life earthquakes. So, yeah, you know, whatever.
Some of the San Francisco was The Rock. So,
yeah, nothing really happened in The Rock. So,
just destroy some Humvees.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a Michael Bay movie I do like, I don't know, people bagged that movie. I thought that was pretty fun, but whatever.
Yeah, another time.
But yeah, but when they finally get to that city part, and they pointed out the fact that the female was the female was pregnant laying eggs, and I was like, sequel. I was like, there we go, sequel time. We got our out. Awesome. And then they blow up all the eggs. I'm like, well, I guess one could have escaped. I guess one or two. And then they gave you the explosion in the water, so that could wake up something else, if we're going to go with that. Did you notice the little Easter egg in the terrarium?
Mothra?
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed it. And I wasn't even looking for it. I just happened to glance it right before advance. Like, that's slick.
Oh, no, I was looking all over that movie for different characters. And that's like when they never showed Cranston's body get dumped in the water. But in my head, I built it up that they threw him in the water. And I'm like, cool, he can become like King Ghadra. Or he can be big King Caesar. You know, they can turn Cranston into somebody else. Which wouldn't make any sense, of course, but, you know, whatever. So. But yeah, but we've talked about, I think, everything but the final fight, the big fight.
Yeah, that's the other time when the crowd I watched, like, pop for it, the first time he used the atomic breath. Because it's kind of like,
uh-huh.
I know they're going to do it because they're treating it better than the 1998 Godzilla. but they haven't done it yet. But as soon as you see his tail start to glow, it's like, yeah, you know it's about to happen.
Well, see, I was so dumb in there. I was like, what's going on with his tail? Because it's usually red. And I forgot that they had updated it to where it's blue now. So I'm like, what? And then once it got up to the spine, I was like, oh! And that's exactly what I did in the theater. I was like, oh! Yeah. And then, you know, starts blowing out the breath and all that. And I can't remember, what happened to the first Muto? Or Muto.
Oh, it flew toward Godzilla. Godzilla hit with his tail and impaled him on something, on a building.
That's right.
I don't know the physics behind that. Like, the timing it would take to swing a 2,000-ton tail.
Mm-hmm.
Flying out. Hey, but like I said, Godzilla got the bro stance. He knows how to fight.
Yeah. Well, there's that. That got overshadowed because the spectacular death of the second one.
Yeah.
You know, and the second one just holding its mouth open and breathing the fire down its mouth. That was so badass. And then just tearing its head off and dropping it on the ground. That got a couple cheers, too. Because, you know, and then Godzilla just falls over. But it was just, you know, they always had Godzilla King of Monsters. And I was like, well, that pretty much cements it, man. That was some vicious stuff.
Yeah.
I guess what that's the whole last 30 minutes, I guess, was the fight.
More or less, yeah.
That's what makes the movie, because I mean, you finally get to see Godzilla going all out. But at the same time, I love the way it was shot. The movement of all the monsters, the lighting, like the angles they took, and I thought it looked very similar to the Man in the Suit stuff.
Definitely, because it kind of, and people crack jokes about it, like the Man in the Suit looks. It looks more realistic than CGI because it has weight to it. You know, like if you do it right, and I know they brought in what's his name, Circus, for some input on how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely, like, if you do it right, I definitely prefer that, or the animatronics can pick, because CGI is,
yeah,
it's just, no matter how well you do it, and I think the only movie I've seen where it kind of fooled you is Gravity. You always know it's fake.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have any weight. It's just, like, weightless, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, there's a certain suspension of disbelief when you're watching a movie about giant monsters as well.
Yeah.
But if you acknowledge that, you let yourself get wrapped up into it, you don't want to be taken out of it. And I think that's what, you know, Gravity is a good example. Like, you know they're not in space.
Mm-hmm.
But once you suspend, like, you wouldn't want all of a sudden to be like some glitch. You just be like, oh, just it totally take you out of it. And that final scene didn't. And what I just really enjoyed about it was, and especially because Chiller... somebody was running a Godzilla marathon over the weekend. And one, it speaks to your point about not seeing Godzilla that much because you see way too much of Godzilla in those movies. And I know they're cheesy and totally different, but, you know. But the final fight scenes, everybody's plotting. The way, like, of the flying, I can't remember, I was watching the Mothra one with Banta, or is it Batra? Batra. And they're flying, but they're flying very awkwardly because it's, you know, some goofy shit with wires. Well, the one that was flying in this Godzilla, it wasn't as graceful as you expected it to be.
But it makes sense because that's a big-ass monster.
A relatively new one, too, to itself. But the way they moved it, it was almost as if it was a guy in a suit, you know, kind of awkward. You know, got little guys on the sides pulling different wires and all that. And it was always like one punch, one of them falls into a building. Gets up, another punch, falls into a building. Just like the old movies. And I was eating it up. I was like, this is fantastic. It was kind of shot, grainy. Of course, they cheat and do it at night, but whatever.
I mean, it helps because, you know, you see enough of it where you can follow the fight, but not too much where it starts to kind of look cheesy or anything like that. That makes sense. I mean, that's why I notice a lot of movies do that and like kind of hide things.
Yeah. Well, this one makes sense because they had a time limit and all that, and you know, kind of went down with it. So, but yeah, I was just it was. I hate the expression, but it was like being a kid again, man.
Yeah.
Just watching this, I'm like, this is so awesome, and I didn't want it to end. Like when he threw the one, I was like, or I'm sorry, when she hit the one with the tail, I remember going, all right, that one will be back in a minute. And then it didn't, and then she just blew the breath down the other one, and it just turned it to ash. I was like, all right, well, if they're going to end it, at least they ended it pretty spectacularly. So, and then Aaron Johnson blows up all the eggs, whatever. You can get around that. But,
yeah. And the only nitpick I had, and I didn't really – I thought about it a little bit. I was like, man, maybe time will kind of move slow. When they had 5 minutes to push the nuclear device away from the harbor, and that boat wasn't going that fast.
Yeah, it's whenever a movie resorts to that, I just go whatever. Just 5 minutes, 5 hours. It's the same thing.
It normally doesn't bother me. I don't care. I was thinking about it because I remember how much of a big deal people complained about when it happened. Dark Knight Rises.
That was my biggest complaint of that movie. And I think Kevin and I even talked about it on one of the shows. Yeah, the threat of bombs or nuclear bombs, I'm like, well, it doesn't really have much of an impact anymore.
Yeah, because they don't treat it like it's a big deal most of the time. Mm-hmm. Treat it like it's a, like 24 happened and that was like episode 2 of one season.
Yeah, and then it quickly got forgotten. Because of his dad and his brother-in-law. I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. How do you get a new... And they made a big deal saying, you know, this bomb, like the bombs in the 60s look a firecracker. And they made a big deal about the bombs in the 60s. But this one's kind of like, it might be some few salmon die, but we'll be okay. The wind was going the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it'll bring up the price of it for a while. So, no big deal.
Yeah.
But overall, man, there was nothing at the end of the credits. Thought that was disappointing. But the more I read about this, they weren't anticipating making a sequel.
Yeah, they thought it was going. They were hoping it'd be a one-off. I'm assuming they was going to make enough money overseas, so a profit would be there. But you know, monster movies are kind of. It wasn't anything saying it was going to be as big a hit as it was. Mm-mm. And nothing from the past would say, you know. Because the last Godzilla that movie was garbage. Pacific Rim made money solely off of overseas because it more or less bombed here. And beyond that, it's not King. Does King Kong count as a monster movie? Like, it's not a lot of history of like monster movies making a lot of money.
No, King Kong was an absolutely unnecessary remake. It was just too long, so that probably hurt it as well. But can you imagine how bad and devastating a movie is if it came out in 1998? Was it 97 or 99, something like that? It's that colossal of a failure, that hideous, that all these years later, a brand new movie comes out that looks incredibly good. And close to like the source material, the design's good and all this. And all anyone can say is, oh my God, do you remember that one from 1998?
That's how Batman Begins was from Batman and Robin. Because people didn't have high expectations of that because they remember that was a bad. Yeah, I remember going to movie theater and watching that, being excited for Batman and Robin. And that just, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Batman Begins had that same hurdle to go over. Like Christopher Nolan wasn't a big deal, and Christian Bale as Batman wasn't like moving any needles or something or anything like that. And look how that happened. So Godzilla in the same boat. Like Bryan Cranston's a star, but he never carried like a movie before. He's been in movies and been remembered, and then this Godzilla, and they're making like it's going to be a serious movie. And we're not going to make a drama movie. And it's kind of, the people didn't want to get their hopes up. Like, the previews made it seem interesting, like it wasn't going to be garbage. And everybody that talked about it, you know, made a good point, like, we respect the source material, we're not going to salt your intelligence. So it's kind of like, you want to get your hopes up, but you don't want to get disappointed too much. It's kind of like, let me put my foot in the water a little bit. And I guess enough people put their foot in the water for it to make the amount of money it made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, what was it, 98 million here, 100 and something million overseas. That's pretty crazy.
Biggest opening behind Captain America, but like, behind by, like, I think, $2 million.
Yeah, and Captain America, that was a surprise opening as well. They weren't expecting that to do what it did. Yeah. So, I actually looked up the Godzilla from 98. On IMDb, the average rating for that movie is a 5.3.
Out of what?
A 10. It should be out of 10 million. That's shocking.
Yeah, sometimes it's one of those, well, maybe in retrospect it's not that bad. Let's give it a chance. No, I watched that movie, I think, about a year ago. That movie's bad. That movie makes no sense whatsoever. And you could tell people I remember when this first time the Japanese made a movie after that Godzilla, they took that Godzilla character and, like, killed it all within 5 minutes.
Yep,
when they
had Godzilla 2000. Yeah, I saw that in the theater. That was a good one. One of my favorite movie scenes ever comes from Godzilla 2000. The two cops are, like, you know, they're tete-a-tete the entire movie. And then one runs into a building, and he goes, "You better hurry, we're dropping that building." He goes, "Don't wait for me." Of course, in a bad overdub. So when he's still in the building, the one cop goes, "Drop it. We got to blow it up. Do it." So the guy's still in there, and the building's falling. Of course, he gets out. He comes back into the precinct or wherever they were, throws a bag at him, and goes, "Nice try, asshole." And it was kind of like a, like, a little wink and a gun. Like, all right, you almost got me there. It was just so dumb, but it was just the way it was filmed, and the audience actually started laughing too, because I don't think it was supposed to be funny, but someone tries to drop a building on you, and that's the best you can come up with. Like, all right, but so I think everyone can tell from our conversation, pretty positive. I'd definitely say go see it.
Likewise.
If it wasn't for X-Men 2 this week, or X-Men Days of Future Past this weekend, I'd probably go see it again.
I would try to see it in IMAX, just imagine, because I'm sure Godzilla probably just looks awesome in IMAX.
Well, Elise was supposed to come this weekend, and she's like, "Well, if it's good, we'll go see it again." I'm like, "Oh, yeah," because she wasn't too happy I went without her. Not that she really cared, but it was kind of like, well, I'm going to see it tonight, because she still lives in South Carolina. So, you know, and
Well, at least you have an excuse. I wanted to see it by myself. That was my excuse. Well, I don't think you wanted to see it.
This is the perfect time of year for that excuse, though. Like, I went and saw Spider-Man 2. I didn't want to see it, but I had a free ticket that I had to use by Saturday. So she kept waffling back and forth on it. Because this first Spider-Man 2 trailer looked pretty cool. I was like, this doesn't look too bad. Looks a lot better than the first one, because I didn't like that one at all. And she goes, "That looks stupid." Cool. All right, that's fine. So I don't know what we were watching. Something came out recently, and they had a Spider-Man 2 preview. And I was like, that doesn't look very good. And she goes, "We should go see that." I was like, "What?" I was like, "Wait a minute, you just said the last time we saw it you didn't like that. You said it looked stupid."
Different movie.
She's like, "Oh, changed my mind." I'm like, "Yeah, I guess you did." But then, and I know you haven't seen it.
Yeah, because stuff kept, like, I was going, I think last week we saw Brick Mansions instead, which tells you, because it's kind of like, if I see it, I see it, but I don't hate it like other people do, but I don't have to make an appointment to go see it. Like, if I see it, it's fine, but if I don't, then I don't really worry about missing it too much. It's kind of just, like, there for me.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly how everyone should treat it. And I heard it described today that this Spider-Man reboot is like the Twilight, is like Twilight for Spider-Man.
I mean, that's
it's pretty accurate, actually.
Because I'll say this from watching the first one. I like Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker more than I did Tobey Maguire.
Yes.
But the, everything else, like the action, just, I don't, it just feels like it's, they have good acting. The story makes as much sense as it's going to make, but it's just like, ugh. Not like it gets on my nerves. It's just unnecessary.
Yeah, it's yeah. I was gonna try and counter it, but it's not. It's these movies were only made because they didn't want to lose the rights.
Yeah.
And Sam Raimi, they kept interfering with Sam Raimi, and dude, it's
yeah.
I don't care about changing source material. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to update it, and that's fine. Yeah. But. There's nothing really to it outside of the Gwen and Peter relationship, and they try giving like the backstory with the parents, which is straight out of Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
That's every shot. I was like, this already happened. You're just waiting for like the back of it to get torn off and Bane to show up. But no, it's an absolutely just. Cash grab movie.
Not only that, and I don't even mind reboots too much, like if you do it well, but like Spider-Man was just out. It wasn't that long ago when Spider-Man 3 came out. Yeah, I know people had issues with Spider-Man 3, but it made a lot of money. But it's like, what, 3-4 years later, we're going to run it back. How many times do I have to see Peter Parker get bit by a spider?
Yeah, Spider-Man 3 was 2007, and I'm looking up. Amazing Yeah, 5 years later, Amazing Spider-Man was 2012.
And we just gonna go like I don't need to see. And if maybe if they did the first one and you just did a Spider-Man story, it'd be fine. Like Blade, like I don't need to see an origin story.
No,
I know how Spider-Man became Spider-Man. I just saw Spider-Man. Like, oh, the spider looks a different color. So what?
And they tried like this one. They explained why he got bit by a spider. It's like no one gives a shit. Yeah, you know it. They just made wholesale changes to
differentiate it.
Yeah, that's it. Not because it was an effective story. Like they're trying to make his parents out to be these martyrs because they're saving humanity. And I was like, all right. It just like the biggest problem with Spider-Man 2. And when you see it, I think you'll see it too. Electro, Jamie Foxx, is way too powerful. He starts off at first, he can like zap stuff with electricity. And the transformation comes out of the blue. Doesn't make any sense. You don't really have a very good description of Jamie Foxx's character. Like I'm saying Jamie Foxx because I can't remember his damn name now. Which is kind of the point of his character. No one pays attention to him. Okay. That's the motivation, huh? Max Dillon is his name. Well, all of a sudden, he gets amped up, and he can just keep sucking power. And all of a sudden, he can just disappear and reappear. He can travel through like sockets and all that. And I'm like, there's no way he'd ever be able to get stopped. And they just come up with this like convenient thing where all of a sudden Peter can punch him.
What?
Yeah.
I hope at least he wraps his fist up in webbing. Does he do that at least?
No, that actually would have been a really cool idea because they do pull this part off where he does something to his webbing so that he can use it again. But it, I don't know. It's whenever you make these like godlike figures in superhero movies,
it always looks bad when they lose. Like, why would they lose?
Yeah. And especially because the character doesn't grow at all. Like the protagonist, in this case, Spider-Man, he doesn't do anything different. He just does the same old, and beats him anyways. And it's like, huh? You should have at least, you know, come up with a new power or come up with a new like skill set. You learned something. That's how you were able to beat him. And it's always one of those, they mention it earlier on in the movie. And honestly, when they do this now, they should start pointing arrows on the screen. Like, remember this dialogue, remember this dialogue, remember this dialogue.
Yeah. Well, you remember, that's for the 8-year-olds. That's not for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The best part of Spider-Man 2, and this isn't giving anything away. I haven't really given much of anything away. The two kids behind me, they were, I think, 5 and 6 at least. One kept kicking my chair, so I had to turn around, and his mom was already on top of him for doing it. So I was like, all right, cool. Well, there's a part where, and it's totally out of the blue and totally doesn't make any sense, but Peter and Gwen start making out on top of the Brooklyn Bridge. And and all this bad stuff's happening. And I'm like, he going to do something sooner or later? And one of the kids goes, stop making out. Stop it. So I started laughing on that. And I could hear his parents laughing too. Well, then they introduce Norman Osborn. Harry meets Norman in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And Norman's played by Chris Cooper, who was also in the Muppet movie. He was the bad guy in the not the newest one, but the one that started it again. Mm-hmm. He was the bad guy, and the kid goes, hey, it's the Muppet movie guy. And they're like, oh, yeah, he was in the Muppets. And I'm like, okay, cool, perfect icebreaker. It was great. Their dialogue running through the movie actually made it more enjoyable than it should have been. But it was just another dreary, like, he's this emo kid, like, oh, I'm so conflicted. Okay. You know, Peter Parker got down in the comics, but good God. Like, enough. And his excuses with Aunt May didn't make any sense. Like, basically, they turned Aunt May into someone mentally challenged.
Well, Aunt May always been kind of slow, the way they portrayed her.
Yeah, well, like, they kind of hinted around that she knows he's Spider-Man. Like, they finally revealed in the comics she knew the entire time. Or something, but
there's enough people complaining about, like, you know, she's old, not dumb. She would have to figure out after 30 years.
Yeah, something. Yeah. and the way the movie ends, they just said the way the movie ends is a catastrophe. Before the part I started to refer to, they're just setting up another movie. Fine. The end of the movie, and I'm not going to spoil it, is atrocious.
Yeah, I heard complaints about that.
Oh, so bad. And it ends, and there's no there's nothing after the credits. There was some weird X-Men thing in the middle of it.
Yeah, I heard about that too. So
yeah, it's like, I guess they're going to try and cross-market. So yeah, good for them if they can pull it off. So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe if someone's heard Spider-Man 2 and they can tell me how I'm wrong, that's fine, but...
I always felt the whole thing. I haven't been as hard upon it as most people, but it just seemed to me unnecessary. Like, it's just, and I try to always avoid the business part of movies. The movies, like, I know they're doing it to keep the franchise, and it makes money, and that part's fine. I have no problem with people making money, but it's just watching it. It's just smacking me in the face. Like, I've seen this before with different actors. You just take out Mary Jane, you got Gwen Stacy, and the villains are played by different people, but everything else is like a mediocre, like somebody took a carbon copy of it, added some emo stuff, messed up the action, and boom, there you go.
Yeah, the CGI in this one was better than the first one, which I thought that was one of the reasons I really disliked the first one. I thought the CGI was terrible. And kind of like what you were talking about before, you just CGI'd out. And by the end, with Electro just blinking in and out, they're having these ridiculous fights between him and Harry. And you just get burnt out because it looks like a video game. And really, with PS4 and Xbox One, you're getting better graphics than what this movie offered.
Yeah.
And I just saw Godzilla, and Godzilla looked real. And those things don't even exist.
It's amazing. A 200-foot lizard looks more real than Spider-Man.
Yeah. And especially the Electro character, it really played like a video game at the end. And I don't know. I'm not a big Jamie Foxx fan, but I wanted to see more of him as that guy. He turns into Electro in like 15 minutes. So...
I think that just shows how, when it comes to casting, Marvel is just a master of it. Because when you see, when the, besides like the X-Men films, most people, their casting can be like hit or miss. Like, you hope for the best. You might get somebody decent, somebody good, and a lot of trash.
Yeah. Yeah, the original X-Men had a pretty decent cast. Well, the third one doesn't count.
I don't count that one.
Yeah, which apparently it doesn't count, period, for the new one.
Yeah.
Someone asked Bryan Singer about it, and he just said, well, they're asking about continuity gaffes or issues. He goes, eh, it happens. Kind of like, just don't worry about it.
Like, you won't see Cyclops, and that's the reason why. Everything else, it don't exist.
Yeah. Well, I don't know any spoilers of this movie, but apparently there's talk about how they're going to bring back Jean and Scott.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So bringing back Scott's easy. Hey, did anyone look for the guy?
You never saw a body. You just saw glasses.
Yeah, the guy's glasses. Oh, my God, he's dead. If I leave my hat at a restaurant, someone's not going to go, oh, my God, he's dead.
Now, if your hat flies away in a dramatic sequence with some dust, then you might be dead.
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah, my bad. I didn't think of that. Yeah. That's what I was waiting for in that X-Men 3, or I'm sorry, X-Men Last Stand, figuring, oh, he'll show up at the end and help. No, he's gone, huh? That's. And apparently they did that because he took the role in Superman Returns.
Yep.
How stupid. But yeah, no, the guys at Marvel had pretty much nailed casting so far. They've gotten pretty lucky. Or skilled. I mean,
yeah, I mean, when it, I would say luck to a certain extent, but when it happens in almost every movie, then it's kind of like, well, maybe they know what they're doing.
Yeah, which, and the reason I even brought that up was the new Guardians of the Galaxy preview came out on Monday.
Yeah.
I was pretty hyped for it, but that looks pretty cool. It's very CGI-ish, but then... Well,
it has. I mean, I don't know if they can train a raccoon that much.
Yeah. No. You know what a nightmare that would be?
You know, I was thinking about that because what movie was that? Willy Wonka? It was one of the Willy Wonka movies. Like, they trained the squirrels to play with the nuts, and I think it took them like 4 months to do that.
Yeah, that's too much money.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
And for a part that I don't even remember what you're talking about.
Wait
a minute. Was that the one with Johnny Depp?
It might have been.
Yeah, because there was a whole room of them, and they attacked the girl or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to put that movie out of my head, too, because that sucked. So, ugh. Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I saw the trailer almost right before we came on, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing a movie. It's the first Marvel movie where I have no idea. Like, I know some of the characters, but I have no idea what's going to go on at all.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's exactly it. Like, I know Zoe. Yeah, Zoe, right? Saldana?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I know Chris Pratt is on that one show, Parks and Rec. That's all I know.
I remember him from Lego Movie. That's all I know about him.
Yeah, the two biggest stars, you don't even see them. Bradley Cooper's the voice of Rocket Raccoon, and Vin Diesel's the voice of Groot. Two CGI characters.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, you don't blink an eye. Oh, they got Bradley Cooper to talk, to have a talking raccoon. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he actually changes his voice. It sounds like Bradley Cooper, but it doesn't sound exactly like. I'm like, so why the hell didn't you just hire somebody else?
Because they can do, you know what, because they got a blank check. It's like, people talk about it, why the hell not?
Yeah, I don't know. I've always liked the character of Rocket Raccoon because it's just ridiculous. It's a swearing, gun-toting raccoon. That's pretty funny. So I don't know if he was human before or if he was a raccoon all the time. Part of me is thinking that Bradley Cooper makes some sort of appearance, because why would you pay him all that money just to be a voice and then change it on top of that? But, you know, until Marvel has a legit bomb, you can't.
And I think it's they might have to. I don't see how that could even happen, because just even with international money, you're gonna make money because it's got the Marvel name. People gonna go see. Like, I know I'm gonna go see it. I have no idea. They describe it as like a Star Wars, like a space opera comedy. I see a walking tree, a talking raccoon, a green, like Batista's playing a green man. Zoe Saldana's blue. Well, I don't know.
Well, it also has Michael Rucker in it. He plays a guy that I believe is green as well. But no, and then all of a sudden you've got John C. Reilly.
Yeah, like John C. Reilly. You got Glenn Close.
Yes.
John Stroud. And then Benicio Del Toro. I'm like, these guys won Oscars, and they just... Oh, we just need you for 10 minutes. Have white hair and black glasses and talk funny.
That's got to be some awesome residual money.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Benicio's going to be sitting there 20 years from now getting $5 checks every couple weeks. Like, man, I don't even remember doing this. I'm the collector. I was in it for like 10 seconds. Like, sweet. This works perfectly. But yeah, it's got a much different tone as well. They're using Tom Jones. That's who sings Hooked on a Feeling, right?
Like, I would know that.
Okay. And I can't remember what the other song was, but... Oh, was it Whatever in the Sky, Circle of Sun in the Sky, something like that? But anyways, yeah, it's got a different vibe to it. So after all those super serious, you know, comic movies over the summer, they're going to get this goofy thing at the end in August.
Yeah.
So it may position itself pretty well, but...
And it'll serve, like I say, it's kind of that bridge where we've done everything we can on Earth, let's expand it out.
Yeah, well...
Or less.
Unless this is how the Avengers get to Thanos, finally.
I think he's going... You probably won't see him until the third Avengers.
Yeah.
Like a villain. And people won't... Like, you give enough bits and pieces here, by the time it happens, people won't complain.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think. Yeah, well, this probably leads into Age of Ultron. Just thought of that, not Thanos. So, well, we'll see. We only got till August, so...
Because there's no, I think there's not any other Marvel movies out till the next Avengers after this one. So,
yeah, Avengers is next year, right? 2015.
Yep.
Is that what Superman Batman is, or is that no? That's 2016.
No, 2015 is that Fast and Furious. It's some other stuff.
All right.
I don't even. Yeah, me talking 2-3 years. That's what movies turn into. What's coming out 3 years from now?
Yeah, for sure. So, all right. Well, we're at the hour mark, if anyone's still listening. So, let's get out of here for this week. And we'll be back next week, same time and channel. You can email us, Stunt Granny. We're Stunt Granny on every social media. I'm Granny Maze on social media. I forgot. You subscribe to this podcast if you wanted to come right to your, you know, laptop or your phone or your tablet device. Just look for Stunt Granny. These come up under Stunt Granny. So until we get a name of the show, just keep looking for Stunt Granny, kids. So until next week, when we might talk about X-Men and whatever other topics, how bad Michael Bay Transformers movies are, possibly.
Stop that blasphemy, man.
I'm Jeremy, and I'll let Shahid take us out.
Okay, for Black Jeremy, I'm White Shahid. Peace out. Have a good night.